if you were not here when we last met, we left all my children, or all the children of Israel, we left them at Mount Sinai. And I introduced to you a lesson entitled, In the Wilderness. In the Wilderness. And I want you to know that all of my lessons fall basically under these two headings. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. And change challenges us. And trusting God and keeping moving. So when we left off with the children of Israel in the wilderness, they were being faced with a challenge. And there are challenges that we're going to be facing today, and challenges that we're facing today that are similar to the challenges that they faced. And so what I really want to talk about this morning is I want to continue talking about transitions in life. And I want to use as a backdrop the story of the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness, because it is similar to where we find ourselves today in transition. And so the text, I appreciate Tyler for the text that he read in our hearing from Numbers chapter 9. That's the text where I will meet you. But before we get there, I believe I want to get to my lesson this way. There is a text in the New Testament, and you don't have to go there and find it, but it's in James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, very familiar text to most of us, James chapter 1, around verse number 24, where it says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work." You're familiar with that you may be perfect and entire, wanting for nothing. I like the way the Message version reads in that same text. And I'm going to use this as our launching pad for us this morning. As we talk about it, as we deal with transitions in life and changes that we have to go through, because change challenges us. James chapter 1 in the uninspired Message version says this: "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you," watch this, "from all sides." You hear, you listening, Sister Marsha? Amen. Okay. "You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely." And we talked about this in the Bible class. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. We are being challenged right now with some transitions, Ken folk. We're being transitioned we're dealing with transitions on a national level, on a congregational level, and even in your personal lives, truth be told, you are dealing with some transitions right now. And so when we left off, I shared with you three things from this particular pericope of text in Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 through 23, that were designed to help encourage us, to help us to have a better understanding of how to deal with the transitions we're going through. And I share with you that in God we must trust, together we must move, and the leader we must follow. All of that was in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. And so I won't go over all of that, but I was using that as the background so that today I can just sit down and just talk with you all. That's all right. So we're just going to, as Brother Crenshaw said, can we just talk today, church? Is it all right? We just talk. Just give me the amen look. Sister Allen, tip your hat aside. Okay, praise God. So let me just talk to you this morning about just the trust God portion. And if I had to give this message a title, I would simply entitle it, In the Wilderness, Part 2. trust God. In the wilderness, part two. Trust God. So we learn to trust God, move together, and to follow the leader. That's what was taking place in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15, all the way to verses number 23. But if you look at Numbers chapter 9, and I'll just read for emphasis sakes. In Numbers chapter 9, I'm reading from the New American Bible, but it says in Numbers chapter 9, and I'm just starting off in verse number 1. Numbers chapter 9. Yours may read a little different than King James, but here's what it says. In the first month of the year following their departure from the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses in the desert of Sinai. That's verse number 1. They have already left Egypt. They have already crossed over the Red Sea. They are now in the wilderness. And it's been about a year has passed by since they've crossed over the Red Sea. And they're getting ready, and I should say, they're not really in the wilderness, but they're getting ready. Everything is now prepared, and they're getting ready to now enter into the wilderness. And everything that they're going to do that you read about in verses 15 to 23 is at the Lord's command, because it says in verse number 1 that in the first month of the year following the departure from the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses. So all of their instructions, everything that they're getting told to do, is now going to be at the Lord's command through Moses. And what I want us to focus on as they prepare to enter into the wilderness in this lesson represents a state of transition. The children of Israel were in a state of transition. You see, and there's a lot that we can learn from observing people in a state of transition. You can learn what to do, and you can learn what not to do. You see, transitions are like tornadoes in the Midwest. I know, Patricia, you all there in Belize, you all have hurricanes. Matter of fact, hurricanes are heading that way for some folks down in that region right now. But tornadoes are different than hurricanes. You see, a tornado can come out of nowhere. They're unavoidable. They're inevitable where we live. It's not if a tornado will strike, but when. And most importantly, will you be ready? Do you know where the fallout shelters are? Do you know where you can go when the storm comes your way? You see the difference? So what's the difference between a hurricane and a tornado? Hurricanes give you plenty of time to prepare. It gives you plenty of time to get ready. But when that tornado hits, if you are not already prepared, if you're not already ready, if you don't know where to go, you're going to be in trouble. You see, transitions in life are like that. Sometimes they just come out of nowhere. Everything is going well, and next thing you know, you get that phone call. Remember, transitions are multicolored. He said, be careful about diverse temptations. That means they're variegated. They're different shades. And then he says, they come at you from all sides. Transitions can come, the birth of a child is a transition. Sending a child off to college is a transition. Maybe you become a caregiver for an aging parent. That's a transition. You lost someone that you love. Changes on your job. Okay. You now have to wear a mask. That's a transition. Social distancing, that's a transition. Worshiping online, that's a transition. E-learning, for those who are teachers, learning how to, it's all a transition. Standing in line 6 feet away, it's all a transition. But what I want you to understand as we start to look at this text and we go back to the children of Israel, so we can glean from them some things that can help us today, is that we have to understand. Remember when I shared with you at the beginning that healthy things grow. Growing things change, but change challenges us. But you need to understand that there is a difference between change and transition. Change is external. Change is on the outside. When you look at the children of Israel, and we saw them crossing the Red Sea with Pharaoh behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on each side of them, and they were coming across. They were at a point where they're getting ready to change location, but they had not yet had a change of heart. Well, how do you know that, Brother Murphy? Because the transition takes place inside, but I see on the outside what's going on the inside. Because we know on the inside that their hearts had not changed, because right when they were getting ready to cross over, they were saying, let's go back. But what's driving that? Because something in the inside has not changed. Listen, church, just because you make a mandate, it doesn't mean that you have to change the way you operate. Okay, y'all ain't feeling it, brother. Let me make it more touchable. Just because you mandate something doesn't mean that I have to obey it until I have a change of heart. You see, that's why we have to become not just hearers of the word, but as we learned in Sunday school, you have to become doers of the word. The children of Israel, when you look at the story, they had not yet completely had a full change of heart, even though God had delivered them. Watch this. You got a baby. You have a baby. That baby is cranky. The baby it's not taking the milk. The diaper's okay. I'm trying to find out what's going on with this baby. What's wrong with the baby? So then here's what you do. You place a thermometer in one of two places. Okay, preferably we're going to go with the place up top. Okay. Why do you place that thermometer inside the child? Because you're trying to find out what's going on inside of you. I know something is not right. You see, there was something not quite right yet with the children of Israel. God knew that. God was taking a temperature check for the people of Israel before he got them to where they needed to go, because he knows there's going to be some rough roads ahead. And I need to find out what's going on in your heart. Just like, okay, I don't know if you have COVID-19 or not, but I'm gonna take your temperature before you come up in this door. Before you can enter in, I need to see what's going on the inside. Before they made it to the promised land, before God allows them to enter the promised land, he says, hold up, wait a minute, let me check your heart and see what's in it. Remember at the beginning of all of this, I shared with you, wash your hands, but make sure you sanctify your heart. Get your heart right with God. You see, we may not be ready for our deliverance from this yet. We just may not be ready for our deliverance from what we're going through right now. Think of a time you went through a transition. I'm going to give you the answer, but I'm going to have to ask you the question, though. Think about it. What did you find challenging about that time? When you were going through that trip, remember the time when you were getting ready to retire and you didn't know how you was going to make it, but you made it some kind of way. You made it through. Remember that time he left you and you didn't know what you were going to do. You got all these kids, but somehow you made it through. Remember the time when you had that health scare, that health challenge, and you had the whole church praying for you, and you didn't know if you were going to make it through, but here you stand, vertical and ventilating, because God brought you through. What makes transitions oftentimes so challenging, here's the answer, is that transitions places you in a place you've never been before. It places you in this nebulous, this ethereal place. It places you in an uncomfortable place. It places you in a place of uncertainty where there are shifting priorities. It places you in a place where you are not here, but yet you're not yet there. It places you in a place of that's the way things were, but that's not the way things are going to be. when you are dealing with transitions in your life, church, that places you in a foggy place in the wilderness. Let me listen. Let me share something. Listen. Just walk with me. Listen. Yes, sir. Last night, my wife and I were driving back from Indianapolis to see our daughter. And while we were driving back, out of nowhere, a fierce storm came. The roads are no longer dry. The roads ahead are no longer visible and clear. And a fog started to appear. And one challenging thing is driving in a fog at night, not knowing what's next. Being in transition, not knowing what's next, kinfolk, that's like being in a fog. And in a fog, you have a lack of control. So our fears, when we are going through a transition, it's like going through a fog. And our fears, our worry, and anxieties become our fog. It is our fears, it is our uncertainties that limit our vision in the wilderness. You see, the children of God, one of the reasons why they were so fearful as they were going through their transition is because they could not see all the way to the end, all the way through to the end. They had a limited vision. But guess who does not? God has an unlimited vision. As a matter of fact, God's vision is so profound, it's so large. God's vision, God has provision. When you syllabicate the word pro, simply meaning before, vision simply meaning to see. God can see ahead. God can see not just what's in front. He sees way down the line. All you see is the grain of sand. God sees the whole wheat. He sees how all of this goes together. He goes ahead. He sees ahead, and he provides for us. Why do you think we call him Jehovah Jireh? He provides all my needs. Jehovah Rophe, he provides me with healing. Jehovah Makadish, he's my sanctifier. He cleanses me of my sins. Jehovah Nisi, he's my banner. He provides hope. He provides inspiration. Why do you think we call God El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Shalom? He brings me peace. He brings me peace in my workplace, peace in my worship, peace in my worrying, peace in my wanting. Even in my wilderness experience, God can still bring me peace. He provides because he can see. Say with me now. He provides because he can see beyond the fog of what's in front, and he knows what's up ahead. Listen, what we try to do in the fog, remember this, is dark. You can't see the bend in the road. You're scared. And here's what you do. You turn on your bright lights. That just made things worse. Now you really can't see nothing but more fog. You feel what I'm saying? And what you want to see is, I want to see my path ahead. And so when you keep the low beams on, that means you've got to trust that what I'm seeing, I can only take one step at a time to get to where I need to go. And I've got to trust that. That's the time you start praying. That's the time I got to trust God that he's going to lead me to the next bend in the road because I can't see it. God is like, okay, Vince, some other folks, you truck drivers, anyone that's driven a semi-truck. One time I was in a situation and I wanted to get past this truck. I want to prematurely pass the truck because I'm in a rush. I need to get to where I'm going, man. But the truck driver was trying to let me know, no, you just need to stay right where you are for right now, player. Why? Because I see something down the road you don't see. And every time I would scoot over, try to pass him, he would move over a little bit. Every time I would scoot over a little bit, he would move over a little bit. I'm like, man, why won't you let me pass? Because he was letting me know, clown, don't you know that there's some danger up ahead? I see there's a bend in the road that you don't see. I'm trying to save your life. I see what's up ahead. God sees what's up ahead. That's why he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I got plans to prosper you, not to harm you. You may be right where you are because God is working on you. And it feels uncomfortable. You don't know when it's going to end because you're in a transition. And it's challenging. What makes transition so challenging? Is that we oftentimes want to control, but we have limited vision. And you can't control what you can't see. And we don't know what's up ahead, but God, he sees the bend in the road. So what that means is that requires us to trust God. That's what he was teaching the children of Israel while they were going through the wilderness. Could have took them 11 days, 2 weeks, took them 40 years because it took them that long to learn the lesson. And some of them didn't learn the lesson. They had to wait till they died off. You see, trust is simply defined as a firm belief in the reliability and the truth and the strength of someone or something else. That's what trust is. You see, you trust someone. Stay with me now. You trust someone based upon, write this down. You trust someone based upon experience. Am I right about it? Your experience with someone will show you if I can trust you. Am I gonna get my check on time? I can trust you because it's there every Friday. Am I going to get my medicine on time? I can trust you because you're there every morning, every noonday, and every evening with it. So I know you're going to make sure I'm taken care of. Children know I can trust my parents because they provide for me clothing and shoes and food. Because of my experience with them, I can trust them. So here's the question. If we were in Wednesday night Bible class, I would ask you this question. So how do you know you can trust God? That's right. Some of y'all saying it at home. You know you can trust God because you have experienced him. He is reliable. Reliability is forged in experience. That's how you know you can trust God. That's why when you read in Hebrew, let's do two pictures of two people that we've learned trust from, and then the lesson is going to be yours. What we're talking about right now is trust. In the wilderness, part two, trust God. Here's how we know that we can trust God, because you have to experience God. The examples of everyone that you will read about in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith, or I call it the hall of trust, is that they experienced God before they did what God told them to do. Can y'all stay with me? Remember Noah? Noah had to build an ark. We remember the story of Noah building an ark. He was told he had to build an ark. Watch this. How long did it take for Noah to build the ark? We know roughly about 120 years. Amen?
Amen.
Did Noah know it was going to take him 120 years? Think about it. Noah, here he is, year number 10. Ain't no rain, ain't nothing happened. I'm still year number 15, year number 20. Noah, why are you still building this ark? What's causing you to have enough faith and trust in God that it's going to rain? It's never rained before. Let me suggest to you the reason, matter of fact, let me show you the reason why Noah did what he did for 120 years and preached the same sermon 120 years to a bunch of obdurate folks whose head was as hard as nails. Read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Here's why Noah was able to do. Matter of fact, if you have, read, it doesn't matter what version you have, I'm going to use a New Living Translation to kind of bring it home. Here's the reason why we know Noah experienced God before God told him to do what he needed to do. Read, sir.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God.
Stop right there. The New Living Translation says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man before God told him to do what he needed him to do. The only blameless person, he said, living on earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. He experienced God before he did what God told him to do. So when he started doing what God told him to do, man, I trust God. I've experienced him, man. I've been walking with him. When we're going through our transitions, if you don't have previous experience working with God, it's going to be real challenging for you to make a change. Okay. The flood lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Noah, I don't believe for one moment he was doubtful about God. He didn't know when it was going to be over, but he knew it was going to be over because he experienced God and his trust was in God. I don't know when COVID, I don't know when all this stuff we're going through is going to be over, but I trust God in my transition, in my wilderness, to guide me through this whenever this is over. Okay. One more, and then I'll bring to you one more point, and then I'll the lesson will be yours. I'm just trying to show you trust God. Remember Abraham. Remember Abram and Abram. Woody, just go to Genesis 12, and give me verse number one. Genesis 12, verse number one. God is getting ready to tell Abram to do something that he hasn't done before. Give for me Genesis 12 and verse 1.
Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house.
Listen, this is significant. I want you to get away from your father's house unto a land that I'm going to show you. You don't know where it is, but I'm going to show you. But you got to get out of your father's house and do what I tell you to do. This is the Abrahamic covenant that he's making here, this promise that he's making to Abraham. He's calling Abraham. But before he did this, Abraham had experienced God. How do you know? Because he had to get out of his father's house. Well, what's the significance of that? You don't know who his father was. You don't know who his family was. You don't know his history. Listen. Abraham's father was Terah. Terah's father was Nahor. Nahor's father was Serug. Serug's father was Ruah. But Ruah's father was Peleg. Peleg's father was Eber. Eber's father was Shelah. Shelah's father was Arphaxad. Arphaxad's father was Shem. Shem came from the family of, he was Noah's son. Don't you think they spread that, told that story, how God delivered them, how out of all of the world, God saved them. They passed that all the way down to Terah. And see, here's the thing you need to understand about Terah. Look at verse number 31, Woody. Verse number 31, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 11. Here's what you need to know about Terah.
And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son, the son, and Sarah's daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of
the Chaldees.
Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan.
Stop right there. The New Living Translation says that he was headed for the land of Canaan. Okay, I know y'all have missed a shout already. I missed it the first time I read it too. Listen, Abraham in verse 12, chapter 12, verse number 1, God called him and told him, I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you. He was already on his way. He was already on his way to Canaan. When his father, that's where they were heading to. He didn't know the way. God knew the way to get him where he needed to go. But because he had already experienced God, He trusted God when God said, get up, man, and just go. Okay, ain't got a problem with it. Because I know you know the way. So listen, kinfolk, we don't know when we're going to make it out of what we're going through. We don't know when we're going to make it to our proverbial other side of this COVID-19. When we're going to make it to the other side of Canaan. But we do know who's going to get us through. Allow me to parenthetically pause and just suggest this. Write this down, tweet it if you want to. Instead of trying to get back to normal, let's get back to God. Boy, that's what you're preaching now, Brother Murphy. Let's get back to God. I don't know what the world's going to do, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to get back to God. We must keep our unwavering trust, our unwavering faith in God, even when facing the brutal facts of our current reality that we may not know when this is over. But we know we need to trust God. Here's what it says as I walk around the text and come to a close. In Numbers that we were reading, in Numbers 9 and 15, it says, on the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud was over the tabernacle. It looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. The people of Israel would break camp and they would follow. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would settle. What covered them by day? What covered them by night? The presence of God. When did they break camp and why? They broke camp. When the cloud moved, they moved. In other words, their trust was in God. You have to trust God to get you through your transition period. I know it's challenging right now. I know you're dealing with a lot. I know a lot has been placed on your plate. If you're dealing with family issues, health issues, you don't know if you're going to be working next week or not. Who is your trust in this morning? Here's my question to you. Here is my challenge to you. Who is your trust in this morning to get you through your wilderness? Not your plans, not your job, not your 401k, not the economy, not health officials, not, oh Lord, not the president. Who's going to get you through your wilderness challenge that you're going through? Church. All I want to share with you, church, is that you got to trust God. Because God will get us through this. As I close, do you know that a bald eagle can weigh up to 20 pounds and it can land on a little branch without fear of falling? Okay. Y'all still not feeling it. Listen. Do you know why that bald eagle does not fear falling? It does not fear that the branch is going to collapse? Because its trust is not in the branch. Its trust is in its wings. The trust is in its wings. That you will lift me up, that you will fly me away, that you will take me to safety and security. No matter what's beneath me, the world can fall out beneath me. But if my trust is in God, I know that God can fly me away from whatever I'm going through. Psalms 55 puts it this way. The psalmist put it this way in Psalms 55, in verse 5-7. He said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away, and I'd be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. You see, you can find peace, Selah, even in the wilderness, even right through what you're going through right now, when you experience God. So trust God, even in your wilderness experiences. listen, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I told you I was going to give you some questions and answers. I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is God. I'm going to ask you the question, but the answer is God. I'm even going to allow you to come off. Just come off of mute for right now. You can come off of mute. We may have put you back on, but just come off of mute. You ain't got to say nothing, but just come off of mute. And I'm going to give you the answer, and all you need to say is God. All you need to say is God. I'm going to give you. When Moses divided the Red Sea, who was behind that?
God.
All the children of Israel with bread from heaven.
God.
Brought down the walls of Jericho.
God.
Brought them into the promised land.
God.
Put Jesus in the womb of Mary.
God.
Healed the man of leprosy through Jesus.
God.
Who raised Jesus from the dead.
God.
Who is going to get you through whatever it is you're going through right now.
God. Save God. God.
Yes. Yes.
There it is.
All right.
It's going to be God, church.
Amen.
Whatever your transition, whatever it is that you're going through, I just want you to just trust God. Whatever your wilderness experience is, make sure you have an experience with God.
Amen.
And God will get you through. So if you need prayer at this time, whatever it is you're going through, we have three brothers that I prepared to pray for you. This is our covering, the presence of the Lord over us and with us. And as we learned in Sunday school, we were talking about, but if you need to repent, make sure you do that first before you start asking for God to start moving stuff out of your way, start moving you and start showing stuff forth to you. You get your heart right with God. We give you that opportunity.